I personally enjoy services where we're doing both ordinances of the church, water baptism and communion, as which we're going to do baptisms here in just a few moments. But I felt compelled again of the Holy Spirit to share a few words of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me today to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now I want to stop there, excuse me, for just a moment. I want you to let the words of that scripture sink in and bear in mind who is approaching John the Baptist. This is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. What an act of humility on his part. He himself, not requiring to be baptized because he was sin-free, but is willingly submitting himself as our representative man and humbling himself to take our place. Not only on the cross, but representing us in water baptism. What an act of humility. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I want to preach just for a few moments this morning on that subject of, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you today for your word that leads us and guides us and, Lord, keeps us living right as we adhere to it. Heavenly Father, today I ask in the name of Jesus for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me as I attempt to deliver these few short words I'm about to speak. Lord, I know I can't bring clarity. I can't bring understanding except the Holy Spirit do it through me. And I'm asking you to give me your words and your precious anointing, Lord, that it would be a blessing to your people and perhaps enlighten them. And that illumination is always a blessing. Lord, we thank you today, and we humbly ask for you to take the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, it's May 22nd, and we're still here. Surprise, 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 like Gomer Pyle used to say. I'm sure all of you, and be happy if they asked you at work this week, is this going to be the end of the world? Because, you know, it ought to make you feel good they came to you. That means they saw Jesus in you. Amen? But I believe that what's transpiring right now is we are, in fact, in the last of the last days. There's no question about that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that one of the signs that would precede the rapture of the church and his coming would be many false prophets will arise. We are living in that time right now. We've just witnessed another false prophet this week. And Satan is using these false prophets, particularly on the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ, which are two distinct events, but particularly concerning the rapture of the church. He's using these false prophets as date setters to make a mockery of the rapture, to get people to believe, well, those people in the church don't know nothing about this or when it's going to happen. And that's true. Jesus, we don't know when it's going to happen. Let me say this from the outset of this message, and most of you, I'm sure, already know this, but it bears repeating. Anytime you hear somebody set a date for the coming of the Lord, tune them out of your mind right now. You've just heard a false prophet. You've just heard a false prophet. Don't fear that. Jesus said, don't fear false prophets. And be a light to the world. I've had several people come up to me, some high-ranking people out of DSCC. They know I'm a preacher. They came to me and they said, do you believe this? I said, it's an absolute lie. But I said, I'll tell you this. This rapture is soon to happen. That popped their eyes open. I said, this guy in California is a nut. But I said, do not let that dissuade you from believing that this rapture of the church, the appearance of Jesus Christ, is a surety as you're standing in front of me right now, and it is soon to happen. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that day. But Satan is trying to use these false prophets to make people think and detract from the validity of the rapture of the church. And it's working quite well. People all over the country this morning are disappointed. And I am asking, where is the church in all of this? I know there are some voices crying out, but there should have been an outcry from every minister who had any kind of following at all to tell his people, do not believe this lie. This man is a false prophet. The church is the herald of truth. God's called us to stand up and be the herald of truth. And that's one reason I am so thankful for our little body of believers right here. It may not appear like we have much impact in the eyes of the world, but praise God, this church is predicated upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saving, Jesus Christ healing, Jesus Christ baptizing in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ coming again. Praise God, that's truth. That's truth. Praise the Lord. And I believe the Holy Spirit had me choose our text this morning to bring out the fact that just as Jesus came the first time, and when he came the first time, he came to inaugurate the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a never-ending glorious kingdom of which all the blood-bought saints are a part of and will be a part of forevermore. When John saw Jesus coming, he cried those beautiful words, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God. The Lamb of God. Those words leapt off the page at me this week as I was preparing this message. And that how many millions of millions of lambs that were offered up by man. And all they did was just cover sin for a time. But when John saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the one who will for once and for all finish the work that needs to be done and remove sin in totality. Glory! Glory to God! It's worth shouting over. And Jesus, being our representative man, I need to bring this out in this message today and hopefully set it in a way you'll understand it. He was all very God, but yet very man at the same time. He was representing us. And maybe you've never seen it this way. Of course, he represented us at the cross, bearing the penalty for sins he never committed. He represented you and I at the cross before God. But with him being our representative man, he had to act as a human being to buy our redemption with only the power of the Holy Spirit at his disposal. And with him being our representative man, it means he had to act in every way on our behalf. And he comes over the Judean countryside this day. And as John is baptizing in the Jordan River, he says to John, will you baptize me? My Lord, that touches my heart. That my Savior, who knew no sin. And baptism does not save you. There's nothing in this water. Those of you that are being baptized today, there's nothing in this water that saves you. This is a testimony to the world of what's already been done in your heart and life by the Lord Jesus Christ, by your faith in what he did for you at the cross. But yet Jesus, being our representative man, humbled himself, knowing that we would all have to be baptized. he willingly approached John and said, "Will you baptize me?" I fully understand John's reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, I have need to be baptized of you." It was such an act of humility on the part of our Savior that transcends human ability to think even. When you think of who was standing before John, this man was sinless. This man was God. He didn't need any type of baptism or testimony to the world, but just as he did on the cross, he was willing to take our place as a witness to the world. Think of that. What an act of humility on the Savior's part. And John said, I have need to be baptized of you. John knew that this was the one whom God had told him, this is the one who's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And John just can't, I understand it perfectly. I'm sure you do too. His mind is overwhelmed with the fact, but Jesus made the statement to him, listen to this, "Suffer it be so to fulfill all righteousness." He was saying something far, far deeper than I believe we can comprehend. He was saying, "I'm their representative. I'm your representative, John. I'm going to represent you on the cross before God. And with me being your representative man before God, I have to perform the same acts that I'm going to that God demands. And I'm asking you to baptize me." And John, through the Holy Spirit, caught it. "I understand." And the Bible says he suffered him. In other words, he permitted him then. Now I want you to think of that. And in those days, when they baptized in the River Jordan, the person would stand and the one baptizing them would place their hands on his head and he would go like this down into the water and come up. And the Bible says that when Jesus came out of that water, and for those of you who don't believe there's a Trinity, foolishly so, and I know nobody in this church does, but for those who do, if you ever want a good example to give them, right here it is. You got the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. You got a voice from heaven then that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God has never made that comment about anyone else. Throughout Scripture, you won't find it where he said, "I'm well pleased with this person." In effect, what that voice from heaven was saying, this man has met all of my standards. Praise God. And he was representing you and I. Hallelujah! "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Someone once asked the great Pentecostal evangelist, Dwight Pentecost, "How do I please God? How do I please God?" And this man was a great preacher. You know what his response was? "Don't even try. Don't even try. Because man can't please God. But Jesus can. And Jesus did. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now you say, "All right, Pastor, that's great, that's grand, that's glorious. Let me drive it home real quick because I ain't going to preach that long this morning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. You get in him and God becomes pleased with you and I then. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's what he's saying about you and I this morning, because our faith is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Church, get ready. He's coming again. It ain't going to be much longer. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. He's coming. He's coming. And one of the greatest signs of it, of all these false prophets that are arising. And it shows you how far the church has drifted from the cross of Christ. Jesus' words, I'm going to close on this. "Suffer it be so to fulfill all righteousness." The cross of Christ and Jesus as our representative, sinless man, pleased God. That's what gave the cross its power, his atoning work on the cross its power. If Jesus were not who he was no different than any of the other tens of thousands that were crucified. It's not two wooden sticks we preach about when we're saying the cross. I'm talking about the one who hung on that cross, who he was. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And when we place our faith in what he did on that cross, God says the same thing over you and I. And that's the only way we can please him. That's what Mr. Pentecost, Brother Pentecost, was saying when he said, don't even try. If you want to get yourself into a quagmire, if you want to get yourself into a state of disillusionment, try to please God through your own efforts. Because you're going to know in your heart you're continually coming up short. You'll be miserable. But when you place your faith in the one who well pleases God, God becomes well pleased with you. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask our baptismal candidates, if you would you go and begin to prepare? And if Michelle, if you need to help the ladies, would you, or Ravana? And Chris, would you mind helping the young men? You can go back to the restroom, if you would. Oh, you got, okay. Dennis, would you mind going back with them and seeing if... Oh, it's all boys? Oh, I thought Stormy was being... Okay. Huh? Okay. Did you have an announcement you want to make, Michelle? Come on up. Michelle has a quick announcement she's going to make. I'm going to go prepare myself. Chris, if you would you play something right now? We'll be back in just a moment to continue with the baptismal service.